Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, I will read, just to remind you of the beatitude that we're still looking at. Matthew 5, 1 to 3. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to be looking at, or continuing to look at this beatitude this evening. Now, let's pray, and then we'll see what God has for us this evening. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that we are blessed in so many ways. Lord, you give us so many good things without us even asking. The fact that we've been born in this country is a blessing we so often take for granted. But Lord, I thank you that there are precious blessings for those who will seek to live in a manner that pleases you. And Lord, we thank you for these things that Jesus has spoken to his disciples, and that, Father, we can take on board as well. I pray that your Spirit will be the one who teaches and gives us a full understanding of this. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I read at some stage, in America alone, around about 500,000 people die of heart attacks each year. 500,000. Another 500,000 have major surgery for heart disease as well. That's a lot, isn't it? It's said that the major cause, I'm sure most of you would be aware, is the narrowing of the arteries as the plaque builds up in the arteries until the point where no blood flow gets through, and so then a heart attack occurs. Specialists say that if people would take notice of the symptoms, well then a lot of the deaths that come from heart attacks would be done away with. If people would seek medical attention when they see the symptoms. Now, if you're wondering what the symptoms are from this article, shortness of breath is one of them. Chest pains. Palpitations. Fainting. Fatigue. Now, just if you got fatigue, I wouldn't. There probably needs to be more. You're probably all feeling fatigued tonight. That could just be due to fellowship lunch, all right, and hot weather. But these are some of the symptoms. And if specialists say that many people ignore the symptoms, and because of that, they end up having a heart attack and dying. Others may not get to the stage of a heart attack, but they don't get to enjoy life like they could because they put up with these heart conditions and they ignore the symptoms. And the specialists say that if they recognize the symptoms, got themselves sorted with their heart, they could enjoy a far better life without the fatigue, without the breathlessness, without the fainting and shortness of breath and so on. Now they say all they can do is tell people what the symptoms are and then hope that people will recognize it in themselves and do something about it. They can't make them do something. Now why do I say that? It's because when it comes to spiritual heart disease, it's a very similar thing. You know, Christians also can suffer from spiritual heart disease, where the inner man or the heart is struggling. Now, it's not due to a high cholesterol count, but it is due to something far worse, and that is a high self count. That's the difference. When we suffer from spiritual heart disease, it is because we are full of self. Self is far worse than cholesterol, believe it or not. It's just that you can't take a tablet to keep the self down. You can take a tablet to keep cholesterol down, but not self. And often we don't enjoy our marriage. We don't enjoy our children. We don't enjoy our church. We don't enjoy our friends. We don't enjoy peace and joy and gladness the way God planned and the way we should, because there's too much self in our life and not enough of Christ. In the Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We see that the kingdom of heaven is wherever Christ reigns. And the first place you want him reigning is in your heart. And when self isn't reigning, but Christ is reigning, there is so much joy for the individual. Apply that to the local church. It's the same. When Christ is reigning and not self or individuals, Christ can reign, and that's a blessed place. Same with our country. If a nation would humble themselves before the Lord, what a blessing, what a wonderful country we would have. And then there's heaven as well. Last Sunday we saw, to be blessed and enjoy the kingdom of heaven, now we need to be poor in spirit. And that means to be a beggar in spirit, empty of self. And what often happens to us is we don't enjoy what God wants us to have because we stop seeing ourselves as beggars. And we no longer seek what God has for us. If you're anything like me, your life, at times you get to that point where you think, is there anything else that Christ really can do? Now, I know that sounds proud, but we all often get to that stage, even though we may not admit it. Is there anything major God has to change? Maybe there's a few little tinklings every now and then, but is it worth begging God to show me where there's major changes that need to happen? Because is there? Too often as Christians we think, well, I think this is about as good as it gets. This is about as good as I can get. I'm thinking, I'm 48. You know, how much more? Like, I'm not saying I'm near death, but 48, 58, 68, that's about as old as Mitchell's lived, generally. All right, so believe me, my dad's the oldest Mitchell that's lived for a long time. We usually last around about 55 or 60. So you're thinking, wow, has he got much more? Is he thinking, I need to get to work on Alan because I haven't got much more time? Or is he sort of reached there? I'd like to think I'm a lot further ahead than I was when I was 20 when it comes to being fashioned in the image of Christ. But the foolish thing to think is that everything's done. But when we start to think that there is a much more that God can do, that's when we miss out on so much. You know, often a person with heart disease thinks life is as good as it can get. This is as much energy I can expect to have. This is as much as I can enjoy in life. Yet if they sort the problem with their heart out, there's another world out there that they can enjoy. And that's often the case when it comes to spiritual heart disease. And so what I would like to do tonight is, it's not in my intention to try and make you feel bad, all right? It's my intention to help you to see if you can feel better. That's the key. Where if you can realize that there is areas in your life where there needs to be less of self and more of Christ, and you make those changes, you are going to have a better life. That's always the case. When there's less of self and more of Christ, there is far more joy present. And so what I would like to do tonight is see, or help you to see, if you are poor in spirit or rich in Christ. rich in self or poor in Christ? And the way I plan to do that is look at some of the symptoms of a selfish person. Someone who has I'll call a high self count. You know, if you've been to the doctor and you get a cholesterol count, you'll know if you have a high cholesterol count or a low one. Last time I went, I was 7.3. He said, that's a little bit too high. All right? I need to lower it. Now, if we went to the doctor and you say, I just want to see how much self I have, I wonder what the count would come back as. Well, we can't go to the doctor for that. Don't bother coming to me for that either. But we can go to God's Word and have a little look. And so I would encourage you to have the attitude of David, where he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. I encourage you to see if you can see. We'll see how much time we got. I won't tell you how many points I have because I might cut it short, all right, depending on how long we go. But I have a number of things that we can see from God's Word which shows us how selfish we really are or not. So let's have a look. Do the little tick off and see if you see self or you see Christ. First symptom of someone who is full of self is you're not thankful for what you have, but more concerned about what you don't have. Have you ever thought of that? A selfish person isn't thankful for what they have. They're more concerned about what they don't have. Self is never satisfied. And so if self is the one that is in control, you're never going to be satisfied. And someone who is full of self can be happy until they see someone with something bigger or better or more expensive than what they have. And then self says, I don't like missing out. I want what they have. And so when you see what others have, do you get jealous and then get unsatisfied with what you have? You know, we're told, Paul told Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what God says. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But a selfish person is not content. You're not content with your spouse. You're not content with your children. You're not content with anything in life, your church. You're not even content with your God. You're not content with anything. And a good test to see how selfish you are is particularly to listen to your prayers. That's a very good indication to see how selfish you are. What is your prayer life like? I suspect you all pray, but what do you pray for? That's a good indication to see how selfish you really are. Turn over to Psalm 119, would you? I suspect this is King David. I should have double-checked that. I'm pretty sure King David wrote Psalm 119. There were times when he was very selfish. We know this. But we see here that this was a time when he obviously had a very low self count, because he has such a beautiful prayer. I wonder if this is the type of thing you pray for. Psalm 119, verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Do you pray that the Lord will teach you about himself? When was the last time you said, Lord, teach me about you. I want to get to know you more. Please, Lord, let this be the case. That doesn't ring a bell to too many prayers I hear. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Lord, please help me understand your word so I can keep it. Verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Help me to go in your paths. Do you pray that? Verse 36 is an interesting one. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. See, a selfish person is full of covetousness. Lord, can I please have this? Lord, can you please get me that? Can I do this and get that and so on? But someone who is not selfish will pray, Lord, let me know you better. I want to grow in you. And it goes on, verse 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Verse 38, establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. You know, there's some beautiful things here, a wonderful prayer. You know, so can I ask you, what's your prayer life like? Lord, please help me here. Please give me this. Lord, please sort out this. Is it all about, Lord, give me something? Or is it about, Lord, help me to know your ways. I want to know you better. That shows how much self is present in that way. Often we miss out on the rich blessings of Christ and his word because we're more concerned about trying to get the things of this world that are simply vain, ultimately, and have nothing, no true eternal purpose. And so, the first thing we see is a selfish person is not thankful for what they have. They're just complaining about what they don't have. How much do you complain as opposed to giving thanks for what God's given you? First, that's the first thing. Another symptom is a selfish person is glad you're so good instead of being grieved you're so bad. Turn over to Luke chapter 18. We see the perfect example of the two types of people. Are you so glad that you're good, or so grieved that you're so bad? Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Here's a person with a high self count. Boy, God, I'm so glad I'm not so bad. But we see someone who is poor in spirit next. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. One was glad he was so good, the other was grieved how he was so bad. Do you have a high opinion of yourself in regards to how good you really are? I'm not so bad. I haven't done much wrong. God is probably very pleased with me. Or do you see yourself as a sinner, saved simply by grace alone and nothing else? You see, this publican understood that he was a beggar compared to the King of Kings. But you know, self will convince a person that they aren't so bad. What they have done is not so bad. What they are doing is not so bad. In fact, when they got saved, the angels rejoiced extra long and extra loud when you got saved. Wouldn't that be sad to be like that? Yet we may not be like that when we get saved, but we can so often be like that once we are saved. Self will tell you you're good and you deserve better. While a Christ-like person will realize how little we are and how little we have to offer. You know, the closer I seem to get to the Lord, the more I realize how wicked I am. I don't feel like I'm better, I feel more sinful. It's like in the dark, you could be full of mud, covered in mud, but if there's only a tinsy little bit of light, you think, little bit of mud, I guess. You know, I'm a little bit dirty. But if the bright light comes and exposes all of you, you realize, I am covered in mud. I am really dirty. Now, the closer we get to Christ, that's the we realize how little we are deserving of what he has to give us. So, that's another symptom of a selfish person. Another one. A selfish person makes plans without considering the Lord. Now that's an interesting one. Turn over to Psalm 31, would you please? A selfish person makes plans without considering the Lord. You know, this was the prayer of the psalmist, Psalm 31, verse 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Who did the psalmist want to be led by? By the Lord himself. And there are many passages of scripture where the true spirit-led person will want to be going down the paths that God has for us. We want to be close to him. If he's walking down this path, I want to walk down that path too, because I want to be close to the Lord. If he's going down that path, someone who is spirit-led won't say, well, I'm off this way because this is what I'd prefer. That is someone who is full of self. You know, for someone to pray, Lord, I've always wanted a little house next to the sea so I can go fishing every evening. And I want to have a job where I can have more time to just do what I want. And now I've got the opportunity, I've got the perfect job, and in the perfect place. And Lord, I'm not sure if there's a good church there or anything like that. And I don't even know if it's your will, but I'm going. That's a selfish person. Because they're not asking God to guide them. They're just doing what self wants. Never considering if it's God's will or not. You know, that's a bad place to be. You know, if you're a beggar, you know, because this is what we're meant to be, beggar in spirit. A physical beggar doesn't say, you know, I know that's the main road where everyone is and that's where I'm going to get the most amount of food and money because that's where everyone is, but I don't like that road. It's a bit busy, it's noisy and it's smelly. I'm going to go up to this mountain, this little track up in the mountain because I've always wanted the view. I love the view of the mountain. And I'm going to sit up there and beg. Now, a beggar wouldn't do that. Well, they wouldn't last long begging there. Sitting up there, I wonder why I'm not getting anything. Now, a beggar goes to where the need will be supplied because they can't do it themselves. I remember when I was 11, my parents took me to Indonesia and there were beggars everywhere. But there was one man particularly that just I could not stop looking at. He had no arms, he had no legs, and he was blind. And I, for a little boy with everything really from Australia, that just consumed me. That he had nothing. And he had a little bowl. He wouldn't have even known what went in it. But he would have been foolish to want to go somewhere other than where he could get that food. If he stuck him up in the mountain, he'd be a dead man. He had to be where there was people who could give him things. And it is the same for us. We need to be with Christ every day. We can't survive without him. We need to be in his word. We need to be in his church. This is his design. He made up this. And so we need to be where we can be fed by the King of Heaven. And so we don't say, Lord, I'm going this way. I'm not sure if it fits in with your plans, but this is what I'm doing. That's someone who's full of self, not someone who is full of Christ. Do you make your plans based on what you want? Or based on what God wants? A selfish person doesn't consider the Lord. Another symptom. A selfish person thinks God has been unfair to them. A selfish person thinks God has been unfair. to them. A self-filled person will think that God's given them a raw deal, that He's made life too hard for them. He's put them in a family that they don't deserve, or they have circumstances that they don't deserve. They feel as though God hasn't given them what they deserve. Now, that's the mindset of someone, that poor person that goes out and labours in the field. You see, if you remember how there are two different types of poor. There is the poor who just make ends meet. They go out, they labour, and they get the wage they deserve. And then there's the beggar who just has to rely on the mercy of others. Now, if you see yourself as that poor that he goes out and works in God's vineyard, and then you expect something in return, well, yes, you will start to think at times, God has been unfair to you. God, I've done this for you, I've done that, I've worked hard, and this is the wage I get? This is how you repay me? That isn't what being poor in spirit is. Now, Jesus gave the parable of how a servant goes out in the field and he works all day, and that he comes in and then he serves his master and he gives his master food, and then after all that he says, I am an unprofitable servant. I'm nothing. And that's how we should think. And when you start to think that God has been unfair to you, that's a sure sign that you are getting a high self-count. You're not seeing yourself as a beggar in the sight of God, but one of those people that deserve a wage. That blind beggar with no arms and no legs, if someone went and put 50 rupiah into his bowl, I know he probably couldn't see it, but I'm sure he wouldn't turn around and say, what? Only 50? I deserve more than that. No, he would be thankful because he knows that if someone gives, it's out of mercy and they don't deserve it. Well, when you look at your bowl, do you say, God, what are you talking about? Only this much. I deserve more. Well, you're full of self and you have a heart problem. Well, that's another symptom of someone who is selfish. What about this one? You're jealous when others succeed. You know, self wants everything and doesn't really enjoy it when others get it instead. Can I ask you, when others here in this church receive recognition, or just you see that they are gifted in some way, different or better, they're better at some sort of musical instrument, they enjoy something different in life, do you get jealous of them, wishing you could have it instead? That is not a Christ-like person. That's a selfish person. You know, what does God's word says? Charity envieth not. That's a basic principle. If you love someone sincerely, you will be happy for them when they succeed. You won't be secretly unhappy, wishing it was you instead. A parent will always, who truly loves their children, would prefer their children to get something instead of them. If they had to make the choice, they would prefer their children to have it instead of them. That's because there's a genuine love for them. That should be seen with all of us. Do you inwardly rejoice when someone is rejoicing because of something, or are you envious? Well, that's another symptom of someone full of self. Let's have a look at some other quick ones. A selfish person is critical of others. You know, when a person is critical of someone else, 90% of the time it's either because they can't get their own way, and so they criticize, or they have such a high self-count that they think that they are always right, their way is always the best way, and if it's not done their way in their time, the other person must be wrong. That is a very self-centered person. I know best about everything. If someone does it differently, they must be wrong. Thus, they criticize. You see, if a selfish person isn't happy, they'll criticize and tear people down. And people who do criticize must think they are perfect. And they always do things right and have no faults. Otherwise, why would they criticize? It's always good to do a self-check on your own words and your own attitudes now and then. See if you criticize others. You criticize others who are in leadership. You criticize parents or your own parents. You criticize friends. Do you have a critical spirit? This is just real basic stuff. Someone with a critical spirit is someone who is full of self. They go hand in hand. You can't say, I am very critical of others and I am full of Christ. It doesn't work. And so listen to your words about others and ask, are you critical or not? That's a sure sign that there is a high self count if there is criticisms. You know, let me just, a few others that I'll just mention. Another one is you'll focus more on how you can't do something instead of trusting in the Lord to do it. A selfish person doesn't want to be embarrassed. A selfish person doesn't want to let people think they're a failure, so they will focus on what they can't do rather than saying, well, I'm going to trust God and step out in faith. So if the Lord's been convicting you about doing something, serving in a way, and you go, oh no, I'm not doing it because I might make a fool of myself, realize that's just self. I had to come to terms with that with preaching. I didn't want to get up the front because especially at the beginning, I had brain freezes. I'd just freeze and I couldn't remember what I was saying and I'd get all dizzy and I'd think, oh no, and you have like a panic attack up the front. It's really embarrassing to have a panic attack in front of everybody. And you look at your notes and you can't understand any of it and you feel really embarrassed. And I would think, I can't get up and do that. That's too much. Until I came to the understanding and I accepted, God, if you want me to get up and make a fool of me by me forgetting my notes and I just get really embarrassed, I'll accept that. If that's the way you want to help people by making a fool of me, I'll accept it. Once you come to terms with that, well, there's not much else that can go wrong. You either have a panic attack and you forget and you sit down, or you get through the message, one of the two. But if you're more focused on what you can't do, rather than trusting the Lord for what you should do, understand that self that's reigning. One more. You'll spend more time entertaining yourself than trying to grow spiritually. That's a selfish person. Entertaining yourself is more important than growing in Christ. I got a few others, but we'll leave them there. Question is, do you have any of the symptoms? If I was sitting here and I said at the beginning, heart disease, you get short of breath, chest pains, fatigue, dizziness, fainting, and you're thinking, oh, I've got all them. Well, a smart person would go to the doctor tomorrow and get their heart checked. All right? You probably have a problem. But if you're sitting there and with the self-test and think, oh, that's me, I'm like that in all those areas or some of those areas, understand there's some things you need to sort out with the Lord and take self off the throne and put Christ there. And Christ said, when you are this type of person, yours is the kingdom of heaven. I can start to reign in your life and you can enjoy the blessings that come from this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, one day we will be in heaven where you reign supreme, and it will be a wonderful place. But Lord, I pray that even our own very soul will be a place where you reign supreme. Lord, I ask that we would take self off the throne and allow you to be first. So, Lord, your name is glorified through us, and we can enjoy the benefits that come along with it as well. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.